And I really am glad that you're here this morning. I really didn't know what tonight would look like. I just know a lot of people are sick and with the snow, and I know some other people are away on a retreat. So I'm glad that you're here. So John 17 this morning, I'm just going to read verses 20 through 23. And then I'm going to pray again, ask for the Lord's blessing on this time. So John 17, starting verse 20. This is a prayer of Jesus. It said this. I said, I did not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may also be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. So that's God's word for this morning. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word, which is true and powerful and effective. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, how the Spirit opens up your word that we may see your glory and hear from your voice and from your heart. And God, I pray your Spirit would be active in this time. May we see the glory of Christ. May we be filled with his joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So before I went to seminary, I was an associate pastor at a church in Green Bay. And at this church, we had a part-time custodian who also owned his own karate studio. His name is Joe. And before Joe became a Christian, he had a little bit of a rough background. We had a fairly dramatic conversion to Christ. And even though by the time I met Joe, he'd been a Christian for some time at that point, he really never got over the grace of God in his life. He never got over the reality of God's love for him through the Lord Jesus Christ. And because Joe never got over God's grace and his love in his life, literally everywhere Joe went, he was testifying to Jesus. At his karate studio, you know, every student, every parent of the student, everyone who came to watch the student perform would hear from Joe about Jesus, as Joe encouraged them to put their faith in Christ. A UPS driver would stop at our church building to deliver a package. And that became Joe's opportunity to deliver to the UPS driver his testimony of God's grace in his life. Every so often at times I'd go with Joe to a store to pick up some type of supplies. And we could not go from our car in the parking lot into the store without Joe having some type of conversation with someone, handing them a tract, gospel tract, or an invite to church. And it wasn't just like simply handing out one of these things, but always as like a passionate plea given by Joe as well that you know, only a karate instructor could give. You know, sir, please read this book. Please consider coming to church. Ma'am, what I'm giving you, this tells some really good news that I'd love for you to read. Please read this. As if what Joe was giving to them was a life and death message, which it is. Literally, everywhere Joe went, he was on the go. He was testifying to God's glory everywhere he could, to anyone he could. And in my 17 years or so of being a Christ follower, I am not sure if I met anyone who had more joy in Jesus than Joe. Even though you can imagine some of the looks that Joe received from the people he engaged with, even though Joe was very well aware that some people thought he was crazy, you know, a fool, Joe was right there, the most joyful person I have ever met. Which brings us back to what I want to work through today as we finish up the final four sermons in John 17, and before next week dive into chapter 18, which is our joyful call to go and testify to God's glory to all those around us, which my guess is that probably most of us here probably struggle with. My hunch is this morning, if somehow we're to look back over the last year or so, like we might have actually not testified to Christ even once. And if that's you this morning, here's my hope. It's actually not to shame you, embarrass you, or ridicule you. Although I would have to mention, there's probably maybe some repentance that you might have to work through. Right? Testifying to Christ, this is actually a command given to us. And if you and I, if we're not doing that, like we need to seek forgiveness. That being said, my hope is that God actually uses this time to encourage us. To encourage you that not only can you share your faith, but encourage you that there's actually such joy in when we do so. Right? What we've been saying the last few weeks, all things for God's glory, all things for our join him, including the sharing of our faith or language of our fourth church pillar, including our going. Just a little review to help set things up. So the sharing of our faith, testifying to Christ, this is really at the heart of the author, John, in this letter. It's often why John is referred to as like the evangelist. In a few weeks, we're going to get to John chapter 20, and we'll read the mission statement that John had for this letter that we've been studying for some time now. In John 20, verse 31, John simply wrote that this letter is written with the hopes that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So like that's his goal, right? That's a purpose statement for this letter, right? He's on the go as he wrote this gospel account. It's not just this gospel where we see John's heart was actually on the go. And 1 John, which is also written by the same author, he wrote that that letter was written based on what he's seen and heard with his own eyes, having touched with his own hands, concerning the word of life, Jesus Christ, who John wrote, the giver of eternal life, who was made manifest to John and he saw him. And so he wrote that letter as a testimony on the go. And even wrote that he wrote this so his joy might be complete. Like as if John himself never got over the grace and the love of Jesus Christ in his life. So joy, John, he's testifying everywhere he went. I also kind of find it interesting that throughout John's gospel, there are many examples of people who are on the go, who are testifying in different ways, the different truths about Jesus Christ. Let me just do a little bit of review here. So in John 1, remember we met John the Baptist, who was on the go, who came to bear witness about the light that is Jesus Christ. As he was on the go, John proclaimed to all those around him that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament, that he is indeed the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He was on the go to the masses in a very public setting, proclaiming Christ. John 1, we also read about a man named Andrew, who upon meeting Jesus was on the go. And he went to his brother Simon Peter to testify that Jesus is the Christ. Similarly, we met a man named Philip who was on the go, testifying to a man named Nathaniel that Jesus is the true prophet that was to come. Right, Andrew, Philip, on the go, in a very private, personal setting. Remember in chapter 4, we met a woman who was at the well, who seemed to be a real social outcast. She was a known sinner. After receiving the grace of Jesus in her life, we read that she went on the go. And she went into town. And the people that she interacted with on a weekly basis, she went to testify to them about Jesus, about the forgiveness that she had received from him. Also in chapter 4, remember the story of the official who came to Jesus looking for Jesus to heal his son who was at the point of death, which Jesus did. And through that testimony, this man went on the go. He went to his entire household, testifying to the power of Jesus. John wrote that they all believed. Which, by the way, isn't that what we want? Like that reality for our entire household, our family, that they all would believe? Chapter 5, we met a man who was a hopeless invalid, who laid helplessly by a pool for 38 long, hopeless years. Yet after he met Jesus, not only was he healed physically, to the point he could get up and walk, but Jesus even healed the man spiritually. He forgave him of his sin. And this put this man on the go. And he went to the temple, to the religious people, testifying the hope that is in Christ Jesus. Chapter 6, we read about this incredible miracle of Jesus, how he fed a large crowd of 5,000 men, not counting women and children, with a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish. And through this act of incredible provision, many in the crowd, they went on the go, testifying that Jesus is the true prophet who provides for his people. Chapter 7, we read that Jesus was at the festival of booths, which is a great festival, a ceremony of lights. And we read that many believe that Jesus, actually, he is the true light of the world, the true light who's come to set people free. So many in the crowd, they were on the go, testifying that Jesus is the light who has come. In chapter 9, we read of a man born blind who Jesus healed so he can now see, which put this man on the go as he testified to the work of Jesus in his life that he once was blind but now could see. In a few weeks, when we reach Easter, we're going to get to John chapter 20 in our study, which tells the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. And at the scene of the empty tomb, we'll see there's a few women who were there. And as they learned that their Redeemer lived, they put the women on the go. And they went and they testified with deep joy to their friends that Jesus is alive. This is a real theme in John's gospel. Different men and women from all different walks of life who were ministered by Jesus in different ways, who had their lives changed by Jesus, who were on the go, testifying to the life-changing power of Jesus Christ in many different ways, in many different settings. On the go, going with good news filled with great joy. Because their hearts were so filled with what Jesus did for them. They didn't have to go. They wanted to go. No one could stop them from going. So read through John's gospel. This is clearly on his heart. To go. This is clearly the heart of John, the evangelist. In fact, another one of his letters, what we call 3 John, he even wrote that we're to support financially those who are on the go, those who had some type of intentional ministry. Right? This is his heart, and it's good that it's on his heart. There's a circle back one last time to our study in John 17. To go, this is clearly on the heart of Jesus. As he prayed this incredible prayer that we've been studying the past few weeks, as he prayed that the glory of God be so real to his people, including us, that with great passion, urgency, and zeal, and joy, we would go and be his witnesses all around the world. Look back at me again, verse 21. Jesus prayed this, that they may be one just as you, Father, in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that, which is mentioned in the past sermons in John 17, it's an important phrase here, so that, for the purpose being, that the world may believe that you have sent me. Drop it down, verse 23. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that, for the purpose being, that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as I have loved you. And this morning, that's what I actually want to focus in on. The so that. The so that. I'm going to do it by trying to break this sermon up to 3 parts. Moving from some foundational things that we must know so that we might be most effective in our witness. Then actually I want to move to a little bit of a cost that we must be willing to pay so that we will be on the go. And finally, I just want to close our time just speaking practically. Talk about just some hopes that how we practically hope to do that here at Red Village so that we might reach our city of Madison. Which I should mention also before we dive into this sermon this morning. My focus is actually going to be on our call just for here, this Madison area. But know that the desire for us to go is actually far, far beyond Madison. Our desire is actually hopefully that we go to the very ends of the earth itself. It would be wonderful if the Lord had raised up a fresh batch of folks from our church family to go to the foreign mission field. As mentioned this morning, our focus is going to be more mainly here in Madison. So section 1. So what do we need to know about our call to go on a foundation, fundamental level? Let me give you just a handful of things. We need to know that our call to go, this is at the heart of our God. Like our God, he's a God who is on mission. And we actually see that from the very beginning pages of the scripture. Right? After God created our first parents, Adam and Eve, right, he placed his image on them. And he gave them a mission to be on the go. To be fruitful, to multiply, to fill the earth. Right? That's the mission. To take the image of God that was placed on them, which is an image that testifies to his glory, and to take that glory all the way to the ends of the earth. If you read through the storyline of the scripture, right, this is an overarching theme. God's desire for God's glory to spread through all nations of the earth. Right, that's the heart of God in the scripture. That is the heart of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right, when we think about the eternal word who became flesh to dwell among us, like he didn't simply come to dwell among us like on a tourist visa, you know, just to kind of look around, see creation from a human standpoint, you know, maybe snap a few pictures, put together a little scrapbook, and then head back to heaven. No, the Word became flesh to dwell among us. Why? Because he was on a mission. Right? He was on a mission. He was on the go. He came to do what our first parents could not do, to faithfully fulfill the work set before him. So that through Jesus, God's glory would be revealed to all the peoples of the earth. Verse 4, if you want to look there, chapter 17. Jesus came to glorify his Father, his heavenly Father in the earth, by completing the work he was sent to do. Right, to say it again, he was on the go. As Christ came, he came on the greatest of all life and death missions. Where Adam failed in the mission God gave him, Jesus would not fail. He would succeed. The great God-man would complete the task set before him. Jesus came. He lived the perfect life, fully obedient, only to die the perfect death, to take on the punishment of Adam and you and me that we deserve for not fulfilling our mission, only for Jesus to rise again on the third day to prove that his mission was complete. So that through the wooden cross, empty tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ, the glory of God would be clearly seen. Right? That's the mission of Jesus Christ. He came for the joy set before him to die in the place of sinners. So that God's glory would be revealed for all eternity. So in the coming ages, the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness in Christ Jesus would be made known. Now, fundamentally, Jesus is sending all of his people of faith, who have been united to him to join him on that mission to go. Right? We know what the scriptures tell us. We are to go and make disciples of all nations. We are to go and to be his witnesses. We are to go and declare all of the work that he has done. We are to go and declare that the wooden cross and empty tomb, they actually mean everything. We are to go so that others might believe, that many would be forgiven, that they would know his love, that they would find eternal life in him. That is at the core of our entire purpose as his people. Right? To bring glory to our God by being on the go. Which primarily we do this through our words. All the examples throughout John, all the different people who were on the go, they were on the go with words. Verse 20 of our text, all those who will believe in Christ will come to that belief through the words of his people who testify. So yes, no doubt, a very real and important part of our going is we go with our love, we go with our good deeds, but our love and our good deeds, they're not enough. We must go with our words, using our words to testify to the truth that is Jesus Christ. Through the words, that's how people are set free, through hearing and believing the words that we've been sent to declare. In fact, our acts of love and our words, our good deeds, the real reason why we do them is to adorn our words. It's to show that our message is true. Show that our message is a message of love. At the foundation, we go with words. At the foundation, we also go with love. Right? That's the message we proclaim. For God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. Right? That's the message we go with. A message of good news filled with love. And as an encouragement, as we go, not only do we go declaring love, but don't forget, we go as people who are loved. Verse 26, that the love which you love me may be in them and I in them. And this is a pretty incredible thought here in verse 26. All of the perfect ways by which God the Father loves God the Son, that is how we are loved. Perfectly, fully loved through Jesus Christ. Right? There's no guilt. There's no more condemnation. We don't go to try to earn God's love. Rather, as we go fully and completely loved. All of God's perfect love will be on us through Jesus Christ, which is a perfect love that casts out all of the fears that we might have as we hear the call to go. Which means as we go, we don't fear what others might think of us. Or as we go, we don't fear what others might do to us. As we go with the steadfast love of God on us, which is a love that no trial or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword or life or death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor anything in all creation, like none of those things can separate us from the love of God found in Jesus Christ. Fundamentally, we go with a message of love, and we go as people who are loved through Jesus Christ, perfectly, fully, under his love, living with perfect unity with our God, and with imperfect unity with each other. That's a prayer of Jesus. This is also our foundation. We go together. This isn't a solo mission. We go together as a community, united together with our faith in Christ, united together with the desire to see the mission Christ has given us fulfilled. We go together with our arms locked, connected. We go, this is a joint effort. This is our family business, to live together on the go. That's the front of half of this text, right? Of so that. Right? Before we're going to the world, the so that, before that, is this unity that we have. To live is such unity that others might believe. Right? At the foundation, this is why we're here, to spur one another on. To help each other, to pay whatever cost we must be willing to pay. To help each other, to remember that as we go, it is for God's glory and it is for our joy in him. It's the last thing I just want to remind us of. I'm sure more could be said here. But at the foundation of our call to go, it's for our joy to be full. And this is where I want this to really be an encouragement to you. Not shame, not guilt trip, but this is for our joy. You look at this verse every sermon we've had in John 17, but look back again, verse 13. Jesus prayed that his joy would be fulfilled in us. You know, this call to go, no, it is not always an easy call. You know, we're talking about just a bit here, just some of the different costs, sacrifices we must make in order to go. However, at the foundation, know that this call that we have to go, this is a call to joy. You know, to go back to all the various characters we met in John's gospel who testified to Christ, who were on the go. Just read through those stories again. They go with joy on their faces. As mentioned, 1 John was written as a testimony that John's joy might be more complete. And read through the book of Acts sometime. And you can read the stories of some of the early Christians, including John, who were testifying to Christ, even under great suffering. Yet, as we read those stories, we read that joy was just running over. As mentioned in my story of my friend Joe, perhaps the most joyful person I know. Yes, there is a cost to go. But listen, we can't be so nearsighted that we can't look past the cost to see that on the other side of the cost is joy. A joy that is far, far superior, far, far greater than any cost we might have to pay. Which does lead to the second part of this sermon. Just the sacrifices that we must be willing to make in order for us to go. You know, I'm sure I could have a long list here, but let me just give you a few things I actually kept circling around about this week as I thought about myself personally. It's things that I can struggle to pay the cost of going. I actually kind of wonder how this might fit us as a whole. There's things that we must be willing to pay if we're going to go as a church. So that, We can be more and more faithful. So here's a list. For us to go together, we actually must be willing to sacrifice community. Meaning, we have to be willing to give up some of our community that we enjoy with each other to create more time and more spaces to minister to those who are not yet followers of Christ. It's just so easy to love others so much, like in our church, where we can just get such tunnel vision on each other. We just love community so much that we're actually unwilling to give any of it up to let others in. And the famous phrase in church life is like, us four and no more. I mean, I got my crew, and no one better dare try and suggest I give any of this up. For us, this means we must be willing to sacrifice some of the community that you might enjoy in your small group. Because actually, your small group is going to multiply to start new groups so that more people can come in. And by the way, we probably need at least two or three more groups right now. Like, are we willing to sacrifice so that more people might come in? Or for us, is our attitude like, I can never leave my small group to help start another one? And if that's the case, there's actually probably some deep-seated idolatry issues. First, this means as a community, we might have to be willing to sacrifice by time saying no to doing other things that maybe other people in the church are doing. Is actually going to use that time to connect with others who do not know Christ. Right? If we're going to go together, it means we can't stay put, huddled together. On the go, it means at times we actually might have to sacrifice some of the community we have. However, I can be encouragement here. When we're actually on the go together, I think what we're going to find is actually our community is actually going to be better. We're going to actually have a deeper community. Just going to go back to what we said earlier about our going. Because I think the levels of joy that we experience in Jesus actually is going to increase as we go together and make sacrifices for that to happen. To go, this also means we must be willing to pay the cost to sacrifice things like our time and our money. You know, for us to get to know our neighbors, our coworkers, on any real level, like we have to be actually willing to invest time in them. Let's say it again. Might require us to say no to giving our time to each other. Because we're actually going to give it to them. To go can cost us money. It costs us money to make an extra plate or two of food so that our neighbors can join us for dinner. It costs us time and money to take a coworker out for a cup of coffee after work just to kind of get to know them a little bit more. Time and money will be spent to participate with your friend who's not yet a Christian to do the activity that they enjoy doing. Right? There's a cost here. And just an honest question for us. You know, as we look at our personal budgets, is there any line in there that shows that we're actually on the go in that budget? When we look at receipts over the past month, does any of it reflect going? You know, to pay this cost might mean we have to cut out other things in our budget so we have extra money to invest in others, to be on the go. To be on the go is also going to cost us our excuses and why we don't go. And let's be honest, we're all pretty good at making excuses, justifying why we're not living on mission. You know, I just don't have the time. My neighbors seem pretty standoffish, so it's not even worth it. I know my coworker wouldn't be interested. Or here's a good one. This is really not my gift. Now, will we all be like my friend Joe? Is around the go? Probably not. But that's okay. Right? To go back to the various characters throughout John, like they didn't all go the same way. Like you and I, we're not going to all go the same way. How I try to reach my neighbors might be different than how you're trying to reach your neighbors. There's no one size fits all here. However, rather than using our time to come excuses why we're not on the go, just use that time to figure out, based on who you are, how God has wired you, those he's placed around you, just try to figure out how you can more faithfully and effectively minister to them. So if we're going to be on the go, like we can't make excuses. If we're going to be on the go, it's going to cost us some comfort. One of the reasons why we love to bury ourselves in community is the levels of comfort they can give us. You know, for the most part, when we just surround ourselves in Christian community, it's fairly easy to play it safe. Okay, all kind of similar thoughts with each other, similar convictions. It's a little easier to let our guard down. But if we go to our neighbors and our coworkers, perhaps even to our family members, things could get real uncomfortable. Conversations become much more challenging. It's going to cost us some comfort. Perhaps the comfort might cost you is like maybe actually come out of your shell. This could be a real cost. And I know for some, this might be really hard. And you're going to have to really trust in God's goodness and his love for you to do that. You know, there could be a long list of things, of costs that we must be willing to pay. Perhaps it's even worth talking about this week in your small group. We have to be willing to pay the cost if we're going to go. Let me give you one more just for this time. To go is going to cost us our selfish desires. We don't exist for us. All things are not for our glory. Church, we exist for Jesus, for his glory. And all things that are in us that try to make any of this about us, we have to put those selfish desires to death. To go, it's going to cost us. It's going to cost us. The question is, will it cost? Will it be enough? Is Jesus worth the cost? And let me give the answer. Yes. Jesus, following Jesus, it is worth any and all cost that might come our way. He is worth it. Final section. Just practically, how are we desiring to go as a church family? And simple answer is, we're actually desiring to go through you. Honestly, through you, through us, through the people that make up Red Village Church. Like the vision that we have as a church to reach our city is you, to equip you so that you and I can go and do the work of the ministry. To minister to one another, which is critical, to love one another, but also to minister to those who do not yet believe. Which means practically, our desire is for you and I to go where God has already placed you. So one of my favorite passages in the book of Acts tells that God places people in various times and in various locations that they would seek God and perhaps feel their way to him and find him. And I think that text actually strongly implies that God has also placed his people in those various times, in those various locations, next to those various people, to use them to reach them with their love. So practically, our going means that you and I need to see and embrace that our neighborhood is actually our mission field. Our going practically means spending intentional time getting to know our neighbors, to serve them however you can, to have your neighbors into your home. Perhaps the best tool we have as we're on the go is actually our dining room table. Right? Be on the go. Go to your neighbors. Maybe throw a party for your neighborhood. Have your neighbors over to watch a game. Maybe in the summer, be on the go and have a backyard Bible club. We can't see our homes, our apartments, as like our refuge to escape from life. Rather, our homes, they are tools where God has placed us to be on the go. Same thing, where God has placed you, where you work or where you go to school. Listen, we believe that those people are providentially in your life for you to engage with them with the good news of Jesus Christ. Same thing, where God has placed you, where you do things like shopping or grabbing coffee or where you go to eat. Be on the go. Care for those people. You know, there's actually a great article that was just posted onto our church blog this last week. A former RVCer who made it his practice to simply ask his waiter or waitress how he might pray for them before he ate. It's a simple, kind act of gesture, or just kind gesture. It just allowed for him to testify to the glory of God And we have tons of these little invites to our church. Like, just give one to your barista. Just hand one to the person who's checking you out at the register. Wherever God has placed you, wherever you are living life, practically, like, go to them with the good news of Christ. Second, we also desire for you to go in areas where you're already passionate about. I'll give you an example. So my family and I, we actually love camping. We're passionate about camping. So for us, this means a real part of our camping experience is actually to go to the other campers. For your passions, it might be like board games, exercise, gardening, maybe some type of community involvement. Maybe you're passionate about being around college students or refugees, or perhaps you're just passionate about cooking or sports. Think, how can you use those passions to be on the go? I know many are passionate about spending time with children. Like, you love being around your kids. How can you live out that passion to reach others with children? Play dates with your neighbors. Making relationships in the summer at the splash pad. Capitalizing on all the different church events we do for children. Like, we have a parents' night out coming up in a couple weeks. Easter egg hunt, VBS, block party, trunk or treat. I know Erica Barlow is having an open gym here in a few weeks. How can you use that to be on the go? So whatever you are passionate about, use those God-given passions to practically go and to keep going. Practically, we desire to go to our church neighborhood. So, church, we've been a fairly mobile church in our 10 years existence. So we met actually in three different schools. For a while, we met in a different church's building. And during those times, over the course of those years, we just prayed if it pleased the Lord that he'd give us a more permanent location to meet in, a place where we could plant roots in a particular neighborhood. And we trust that just a little under 2 years ago, we trust this is where God has planted us. Right here. That's how God answered that prayer. So that we can reach this neighborhood with the good news of Jesus Christ. Where we're located, not only is this a very visible location, but this is actually a very residential area. There are thousands of people real close to this building. There are homeowners, many of which who live in this neighborhood for years. There are several large apartment complexes just down the street. Also, just down the street, just a few blocks away, there's a huge park. Then the summer is a real draw. We're actually not that far from campus. We're not that far from Eagle Heights. We must believe that as a church, this is where God has placed us to reach these people, to reach our neighbors with the good news of Jesus Christ. And if you've never done this, let me just encourage you, maybe just like drive around the church neighborhood sometime in the next few weeks. Just drive around with your eyes open. Just see whatever needs and opportunities might be present. Maybe do that in your small group. Pile into cars. Drive around the neighborhood. Take notes. Come back together. See what you learned, how you might be able to reach people here with the good news of Christ. When it warms up, walk around the church neighborhood. You're praying for this neighborhood. Let's be bold. Let's be aggressive. To go. To reach out to this neighborhood. Last one. Practically, our hope is that we actually go together in community. I know I just mentioned part of the times that we actually must be willing to give up some community to reach out to others. Listen, our hope is that we can do as much as we can together to go and reach those around us. To go by helping one another, by praying for one another, to supporting one another, to encouraging one another, to not grow weary in doing good. So that all of our days as a church, as a community, are marked by going over and over and over again. Continuing to go over and over again to our neighbors, our family members, our co-workers. To go over and over again to where God has placed us. To continue to go over and over again to where our passions are leading us. To continue to go over and over again to our church neighborhood. To continue to go over and over again with our arms linked together. that for the glory of our God, that for our joy in Jesus, that more might believe. Never getting over the grace and the love that God has given to us. Church, may we go with great passion, zeal, and urgency with the incredible news of God's love for us through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for his love and his grace in our life. Thank you that in great love, Christ came for us. And God, I pray that that love that Christ has given to us would flow from us, that we might go to those around us. God, please forgive us where we have failed, or where we have made excuses or justify our lack of witness. God, I do pray that today you would give us encouragement. And God, we would love to see your glory manifest through us. God, we would love to see more and more people come into faith in Jesus. So God, I pray that you would do a great work in us and through us to that end. For your glory and for our joy in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.